Thomas Watson Jr. transformed IBM from a punch card tabulator company into the juggernaut that launched the information technology revolution. His bet the company gamble on the System/360 mainframe computers remains perhaps the most successful product launch in business history. But behind this remarkable achievement lies an equally compelling personal story, one of overcoming both inner demons and the overwhelming shadow of his domineering father. Young, terrible Tommy struggled with undiagnosed reading difficulties, academic failure, and recurring depression. His father's overwhelming presence seemed like a blanket that covered everything, leaving him feeling inconsequential by comparison. When his father introduced him at an IBM convention at age 12, announcing his hope that Tommy would join the company, the mortified boy delivered a prepared speech while inwardly dreading his predetermined future. "I can't do it," he later sobbed to his mother. "I can't go to work at IBM." What transformed this troubled youth into a visionary leader? World War II provided his escape and salvation. As an Army Air Corps pilot flying dangerous missions through Siberia to support the Soviet war effort, Watson discovered analytical skills he hadn't known he possessed and learned to command effectively. For the first time in his life, he achieved something significant entirely on his own merit. When his commanding general casually mentioned he could run IBM someday, Watson was stunned. Could he really step out of his father's shadow and lead? When Watson returned to IBM in 1946, he found a company stuck in his father's outdated management style. Despite 25% sales growth, profits stagnated as TJ kept no formal budgets, tracking figures only in his head. Father and son clashed over electronic computing. TJ dismissed its importance, while Tom Jr. recognized it as essential to IBM's future. UNIVAC's success with the Census Bureau, IBM's oldest client, and its accurate prediction of Eisenhower's 1952 victory with just 7% of votes counted served as a wake-up call. "It frightened the pee out of the old man," recalled one manager. After becoming CEO in 1956, following his father's death, Watson modernized IBM swiftly. He introduced organization charts, created autonomous divisions, established IBM research, and dismantled his father's cult-like atmosphere by removing the company's songbooks and TJ's portraits. Inspired by an Olivetti typewriter shop visit in 1954, Watson revolutionized IBM's design. He hired industrial designer Elliot Noyes and graphic designer Paul Rand to transform the company's image under the motto, "Good design is good business." Rand's 8-stripe IBM logo remains one of the world's most recognizable corporate symbols. By 1960, IBM faced serious compatibility issues across its computer lines. Organizations needed separate machines for technical and business computing, while upgrades meant replacing hardware and rewriting software at massive cost. Watson made a bold decision in 1961 to develop a new product line that would obsolete existing computers. The project required simultaneous breakthroughs in multiple technologies, with an estimated cost of $675 million, about $6.3 billion today. IBM's largest investment ever. Despite the risks, Watson simply said, "Do it." The project earned the nickname, "You Bet Your Company." 5 teams across 3 labs developed 5 compatible mainframes and 54 peripherals. Programmers tackled the unprecedented challenge of creating a universal operating system for differently powered computers. IBM also built its first microchip factory, scaling from 50,000 experimental chips in 1962 to 36 million in 1965, surpassing all other companies combined. On April 7, 1964, 50 years after Watson Sr. joined IBM, Watson Jr. unveiled the System 360 to 200 journalists. Yet behind the triumphant announcement, most displayed mainframes were plywood mock-ups with no working semiconductor chips, an unfinished operating system, and not a single complete System 360 assembled. The System/360 gamble nearly destroyed IBM, costing $5.25 billion total, more than double the Manhattan Project. With just 6 weeks of cash reserves left, IBM barely avoided missing payroll. Technical problems plagued development. 8 million failed semiconductor modules halted production, while software costs exploded to $500 million as code requirements grew tenfold. The crisis forced Watson to appoint Vin Learson over his brother Dick as leader. By May 1966, Learson's team of four senior engineers had resolved the issues, enabling monthly production of 1,000 computers. The risk paid off spectacularly. Within 5 years, IBM installed about 5,000 medium and large models across the U.S., making mainframes essential for organizations, from airline bookings to rocket guidance. By 1970, IBM's market value reached $41.5 billion, about $368 billion today, surpassing 21 Dow Jones companies combined, with revenues doubling to $7.5 billion and earnings exceeding $1 billion. By the early 1970s, Watson's life was in turmoil. During that year's recession, IBM's stock plummeted, while he found himself running from crisis to crisis. After a massive heart attack in November 1970, Watson resigned as CEO in June 1971. His second act began with confronting his fears. Watson sailed near the North Pole, became one of the oldest licensed helicopter pilots at 60, and maintained a tradition of flying his biplane inverted each summer into his 70s. As chair of the General Advisory Committee on Arms Control and Disarmament in 1977, visits to nuclear facilities alarmed him. Modern warheads, 6-foot cylinders hundreds of times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb, particularly disturbed him, as did learning submarine commanders could independently launch missiles in certain scenarios. His subsequent role as President Carter's ambassador to the Soviet Union ended when Soviet forces invaded Afghanistan, creating the most serious crisis since Kennedy and Khrushchev. Watson later founded the Center for Foreign Policy Development at Brown University in 1981, pursuing his commitment to nuclear arms control and global peace. In 1987, Fortune magazine crowned Watson the greatest capitalist who ever lived for transforming IBM into perhaps the most efficient and responsive manufacturing and marketing operation in business history. Watson agonized over IBM's struggles as the industry shifted from vertical to horizontal models. By the early 1990s, the company was losing billions and conducting its first layoffs in 70 years. The decline deeply affected Watson, who would wake up at night and cry. After a severe stroke in fall 1993, he died on New Year's Eve. Though IBM remains a global technology giant, it has lost its industry leadership position. Its market value now trails companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Oracle, firms that built upon technologies IBM pioneered under Watson. His enduring legacy was demonstrating that humane capitalism and profit could coexist. He led IBM believing in employee dignity and management's duty to create opportunities. Watson championed fairness, ensuring workers shared in company wealth, while steering IBM's products and people toward improving the world. Watson's journey remains relevant today. With courage, vision, and steadfast principles, we can transform both our organizations and ourselves, and in doing so, make the world better.